The initial idea for the Sweet Requiem came from an incident in 2006 on the Nepal-Tibet border at a very high altitude mountain pass, where a group of Tibetans were escaping and Chinese border guards opened fire and they killed a young nun. I mean, in cold blood, you know. And this particular incident was captured on video by a Romanian mountain climber who subsequently made it public. So for the first time, we got to see what exactly, you know, these escapes were like, the dangers that they faced, and, you know, how brutal that kind of journey could be. So it started us thinking. We wanted to explore this subject about people escaping from Tibet, especially young children coming to India, and then what happened to them. You know, so that was the germ of the idea, came from that.
We live in Dharamsala, which is in the Himalayas, also the home of the Dalai Lama and the center of the Tibetan refugee community. And while we were living there, we saw that, especially in the 90s and the 2000s, thousands of children were coming. They were either accompanied by their parent and then the parent would go back, or they came, they were sent through a kind of person taking them, you know, away. And they came at very, very young ages. And that was shocking for us to see that so many young people were being sent by their families. And we know how hard that is to have an education elsewhere. And so that also got us really thinking about, you know, what kind of life do they want for their kids? And a lot of it was to do with language, to preserve their language and culture, which was very much threatened under Chinese rule in Tibet.
What is most fascinating for me was to see the lived experiences of a community which you don't get to see on screen quite a lot, especially even in Indian cinema, for example. I mean, you have a lot of Tibetan characters who play a lot of side roles, and you know, but you don't never get to see their backstory. You never, they don't exist beyond one or two scenes, and it's a very stereotypical, very caricatured way of doing it. But the lived experiences of these characters and how they're actually going through a lot of trauma and still living their lives and actually trying to make something of that was very interesting for me. So how did that kind of influence or what kind of research went behind to know the lives of these people?
As I mentioned, we live in Dharamsala. So, you know, we are very much part of the community and we know many young people who have similar stories. So it was really like listening to these stories and discovering for ourselves that, you know, this is the fate of many young children. And also the problem was that, you know, these young people come to Dharamsala or to somewhere in India and they lose connection and with their families back home. And that was really painful for us to observe, because while other kids who are studying in the Tibetan schools have families to go back during the holidays, these young people had nowhere to go, you know. So I think realizing that, we wanted to highlight kind of this in our story.
Yeah, as Ritu said, because I'm Tibetan as well, so it's the community that I grew up in. And I think we've always felt it was really important for us to tell our own stories, because, you know, it's really rare to find films, as you mentioned, that talk about these subjects. So, yeah, I think that's it's something that's very close to us. It's something that we've kind of experienced, you know, in our lives as well. So I think that's why you have a sense that it's coming from within, you know.
And the other fascinating thing about it is obviously Tibet being a political football between India and China for a long time. But now you get to see how Tibetans themselves feel about their situation and what they want to do about it. And this very, I would say, very personal way of rebelling for them and finding their own identity. So it's interesting how the film plays that out in a very personal story. Even though it's a very political story, it's still a very personal one at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was very important for us to make it a personal story, to make it as universal as we could, even though it's specifically talking about the Tibetan experience in exile and the politics that surround it. It was important that it was told from a very human, you know, perspective, very intimate perspective. And because finally, you know, these are experiences that are common throughout the world. I mean, especially today, when we see, you know, refugees, migrants crossing seas, crossing borders. So these experiences are, in a sense, they're universal, right? And that's what we really wanted to kind of highlight and capture in the film.
And of course, many of these journeys are made by young people and children. And that's something I think we shouldn't forget. You know, it has a huge impact on them. And it's an impact that doesn't just go away. It's something that they have to live with.
I was wondering whether there was any issues with getting funding for this kind of a project, because it is such a unique story and very, you know, it's not been told before. So how do you pitch such a project to someone to try to get funding for such a project?
It's really very, very, very difficult to get funding for a project like this. Part of the reason is that there isn't really a home audience. There isn't a Tibetan community that's going to spend money to go to the theater, because theaters don't exist. Or if they exist in Tibet, they're totally controlled by China. So obviously China doesn't want a film like this made. They don't want to hear this narrative, the narrative that comes from exile filmmakers. They want to control the narrative, you know, they want to censor all their filmmakers. So given that, it's very hard. It also is hard because China also controls a lot of theaters in the US. It controls economics in many, many areas. So, and it's a huge market. Like, I think, you know, it's one of the biggest markets there are. So everybody, it's not even about China censoring. It's also about people around the world self-censoring, not wanting to talk about certain issues. So given that, the funding didn't come from traditional sources. We got some grants, some individuals gave money, and we finally did a Kickstarter campaign as well. So it was very unusual funding. And
yeah, and it's a very, very low budget as a result. We had to, you know, really scrape every penny together to make this film.
But what is also fascinating is, because of that, I think the resource that you're playing with, the camera work that comes around, and, you know, a lot of the shots that are, that's very creative. And, you know, because you have minimal resources, so you have to make the best of that. So I think that kind of creative filmmaking comes to the fore, and you really get to see, you know, some very interesting shots, and the way the landscape is really such a vast character in the film. Because, you know, you really are going through such a unforgiving landscape, and making that journey is perilous. And, you know, a lot of people lose their lives in that journey. So it's fascinating how that plays a big part in the film.
It was really important for us to capture the landscape, and also to show the difference between the high altitude landscape, you know, which was at about, we were shooting at about 15,000 feet. Very cold, very difficult. The children and the older people all make journeys with minimum kind of clothes, bad shoes. So, you know, we really wanted to capture that. And then when they're in India, when they're in Delhi, it was extremely hot. It was, you know, we were in a kind of cavernous world in a city where there was just no light. So really, we decided to go from open space, very difficult mountainous terrain, to kind of closed city alleys and extreme heat. And we did that during the shoot ourselves. We experienced the same, because we went straight from, like, I don't know, minus 15 degrees centigrade to plus 45 degrees in Delhi, you know, so it was extreme.
But you're right in the sense that the budgetary kind of constraints did challenge us to be more creative in the way we shot the film. So you would have noticed, like, most in all the shots in the mountain scenes, we had no lights. You know, they were like pretty much all natural light. And it was pretty much all handheld as well, the camera work. And even in Delhi, we, you know, what we did was we highlighted the existing kind of lighting that a place like Majnu Katila, which is the Tibetan refugee settlement in Delhi, naturally has, which is all mixed lighting. You know, and just heighten that using a very little using very little movie lights. Like, we didn't have, you know, big lights. And that was a very much a conscious decision that we made to shoot it like that.
It's a story that needs to be told. I'm really glad that you guys are telling that story, and I'm sure it'll find an audience not only here but all over the world. I mean, when it premiered at TIFF, it got a great response. So I'm really happy that it's reaching out to more and more people, because a lot of stories that have been told before, this is one that hasn't been. So I'm glad that it's being told now.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm glad you said that it's a story that needs to be highlighted, because you're absolutely right. The Tibetan kind of situation and the story, you know, the tragedy of what's happening in Tibet is really being forgotten. And it's something that we need to keep alive.